Today we will start with shloka number 3 of Dakshinamurti Sutta. Let's chant and then we'll go straight into it. Yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakam asat kalpartakam bhasate. Yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakam asat kalpartakam bhasate. Sakshat tattvam asiti vedavachasam yo bodhayatyashritan. Shakshat tattvam asiti vedavachasam yo bodhayatyashritan. Yat sakshat karanat bhavena punaravrutir bhavambho nidho. Yat sakshat karanat bhavena punaravrutir bhavambho nidho. Tasmai shri guru murtaye namaidam Dakshinamurtaye. Tasmai shri guru murtaye namaidam shri dakshinamurtaye. This time full, no lead and follow. Yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakam asat kalpartakam bhasate. Sakshat tattvam asiti vedavachasam yo bodhayatyashritan. Yat sakshat karanat bhavena punaravrutir bhavambho nidho. Tasmai shri guru murtaye nama idam shri dakshinamurtaye. Prostration to my guru shri guru murti shri dakshinamurti, who is also Bhagavan Dakshinamurti, and who is also the Son, the Atman. So there is no difference in my Guru and my Ishvara and the Atman. They are one and the same. So Tasmai Namaha. To them, my prostration. In this form of the shloka, Idam Namaha. This shloka is how I prostrate to them. So what's so special about this one? First, let's see the overall idea of the shloka. Then we go and try and analyze a little bit of what each shloka is trying to connect. Yasya, whose, eva, indeed, spuranam. Spuranam means effulgence, shine, whose shine is sadatmakam. Sat, existence. Atmakam, of the nature. So, prostration to that self whose effulgence is of the nature of existence. And asatkalpārthakam bhāsate. Asat, that which is not real, that which is not existing. Kalpa, kalpa means as though not existing. And we'll go into the depth of the meaning of what we mean by as though. But kalpa is to signify that they are as good as non-existent. What is? Arthakam. Let's just look at the word artha and then come. Artha means objects, padartha. So the objects are as though non-existing. And the word kam is to signify this self is then presenting itself as these objects which are not really existing in reality. Asat kalpaarthakam. In the nature where the objects presented are as good as not existing. Bhasate shas. Then, when it shines, how did I come to know that this shines? How was this revealed? So, yaha, my guru, Dakshinamurti, that self, bodhayati, expounds, tells, narrates, bodhayati, ashrita, those who have surrendered, those who have taken refuge, to them, he reveals this sakshat. In one go, meaning direct experience, sakshat, is what he narrates. How does he know? With what does he know? Tattvamasi iti veda vachasa. By the words of the Vedas, veda vachasa, which is speaking about tattvamasi. And does this knowledge do anything, or is just, you know, for fun that the guru teaches because he has nothing better to do? So then the result is also told. Yet, when this knowledge is given, yet sakshat karanat, when it has been sakshatkar, when we have made it a personal experience for ourselves. Unaha avritti. Punaravritti, to become again. To come again. Bhava ambhav nidhav. Nidhav in the treasure of ambha. Water, meaning treasure of water, we're talking about ocean. And bhava means the samsara. So the ocean of samsara is what we're talking about. So in this ocean of samsara, punaha avrittihi na bhavet is not there. This is the result of such a knowledge of tattvamasi. And the one who revealed it to that Tasmai Guru, Dakshinamurti, Idam Namaha, is my question. So the whole overall theme of the shloka is that my prostration is to my Guru, who is none other than that self existing as the self-effulgent self. And presents itself, shines as the material world, as the objects of the world, which are in the reality asat, asat kalpartha. How is one knowing this? So then that guru reveals this knowledge of the self through the Tattvamasi Veda Vakya, which when one makes it a personal knowledge, direct experience for themselves, then they don't have to take birth in the samsara again. This is the idea. Okay. Now let's go into a little bit deeper. And the moment we say deeper, we should not feel so sad. It's interesting, actually. this whole Dakshinamurti Sutra is very interesting. And you'll see how Vedanta is really, really portrayed. So now the thing is, there is philosophy that says that asat, non-existence, is the cause of this world. There's a philosophy like that, which says that non-existence is the cause of the world. And the first line is explaining that cannot be true. It cannot be the possibility that non-existent can be the cause of the world. Why? So, yasya, whose? And here, by whose is referring to that Paramatma, that self, the Atman. His spuranam. So now, yasya, his. So it is in a, what do you call, shashti vibhakti. It shows the relationship with the Atman. So his possessive case, that's what we say, possessive case. So somebody is possessing this. His spuranam, spuranam, effulgence, the ability to present it, that is what is meant as spuranam. The ability to reveal something. That I came to know that this exists, that is what is known as spuranam. So knowledge, effulgence, shine, consciousness, these are different ways to describe it. Because you know, one word is not enough to say that spuranam means this. But the idea is it's effulgence. And this effulgence is sadatmakam, is of the nature of existence. Sat, existence. Atmakam, of the nature of. So that is of the nature of existence. Now the moment that we say that his, now I'm using in a masculine term, but there's no masculine or feminine here. Okay. When we say Atma, Atma has no gender. But the, you know, grammatical way of putting it, the word is in a masculine gender. That's why it is, I'm saying his. But the idea is, his means not him, something different than him. Anytime we say it is in my possession, that means I am different from what I possess. Right? So that possessive case helps us explain that the nature of the self is in this way. And this nature of the self is existence and consciousness together. Therefore, from existence alone can the world that exists comes. It cannot be that the world comes from non-existence. Not possible. In which way can we say that existence, from existence alone, the world has come? Well, if we say the world has come, you and I are able to feel that the world exists, okay? That something is there, and we give that something a name. So call it, you know, our glasses, laptop, TVs, whatever. The name we gave to an object. But in essence, we know very well that it exists. That existence, that was not it wasn't born with, well, it was born with existence, but that existence was inherent in it. From non-existence, that which is not there, how can something exist? It doesn't make sense. To us, you know, we probably already know that, yes, it doesn't make sense. But this shloka is trying to point this out, that look, the nature of the self is existence and consciousness. Because it is of the nature of existence and consciousness, the cause of the world also has to be existence, which we saw in shloka number 2. The Atman is abhinna nimitta upadana. Atman is alone the material and the efficient cause of this creation. So therefore, what is that creation? That is what Adi Shankaracharya is explaining here. So in previous shloka was explained that Brahman is the cause for this creation. But what is the nature of this creation? So it is filled with existence. Point number one. And also it is filled with effulgence, spuranam. So existence and consciousness. Now, interesting enough that these two words, existence and consciousness, are synonyms. Although we would, in English, would put it as synonyms, but they're describing one entity. So with this shloka, or with this first line, what Adi Shankaracharya also is pointing out, that consciousness and existence are one and the same. Thus far, this idea is clear. What we are trying to first see is who is being described here as consciousness and existence. Whose description is this? That is a description of Brahman. And where do we find existence? In this creation, we find existence. In this creation, we find consciousness. So therefore, its connection with the world also is seen, is visible. So therefore, from that perspective, we're first trying to establish that the cause for this world is existence and consciousness. That is point number one. Cause for the creation is existence and consciousness. Point number two that we are trying to discuss is existence and consciousness are not two distinct things. They are one and the same. They cannot stay separate from each other. You cannot put existence in one room and consciousness in another room. It will not work. And why? It is logical. Why? Say something exists, okay? Say something exists, but you can never know that it exists. It is not available for ken of perception, ever. Not by senses, not by any other means. It doesn't have the ability to shine. So how can you call that as existing? If it exists, but it can never be known. Not even through mind, not even through other people's mind. It's not saying that, oh, I don't know, but somebody else will know. not like that. You know, when we say the tree fell in the forest, I didn't hear it. Does it exist or not? So we said, if you didn't hear it, was there somebody else who heard it? If they heard it, it exists. So here, that is not the argument. Here we're saying that say something exists, but it is not available to be known at all. Then how can you say it exists? Because that which you don't know is not existing. Idea. This is the logical way to see that both existence and consciousness are nothing but one. Okay, let's do the other way. Okay, let's think about it from the other way, where we say consciousness without existence. So consciousness is there, but existence is not there. If consciousness is there, how can you say it is there? How can you say it exists? How can you say consciousness exists without it being present? How can you say that there is awareness? How can you say is there? How can you say that exists without existence? So it's not possible. So therefore, in order for us to say that I knew, their existence had to be there. And anytime I say it exists, I have to say that it is available for perception. It is available as knowledge, not just perception. Because when we say perception, then we block our thinking just to the perception of our senses or mind. Oh, it is available as knowledge per se. It's the essence of knowledge. So, in the first line, Adi Shankaracharya is explaining the nature of Atman as Sat and Chit, existence, consciousness. This existence, consciousness is shining, shines, Bhasate, shines as Sat Kalpathakam. So existence and consciousness is there, but when it presents itself, it presents as the material objects of the world, which is as though Asat. You cannot say it is Asat, because material objects of the world are present. We are able to experience it. We are able to know it. We are able to transact with it. So that which we can transact with, how can we say it is Asat? But if you go to question its reality, what we find is, in its reality, the name and form is not the permanent. What is permanent is that material from which it is made of, and that is existence consciousness. So existence consciousness is as though appearing as material objects. This is the idea of the first. Clear? I think it should be clear, not difficult, is it? Yes? Silence is yes? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
It's clear.
Okay. Okay, one clear I got. Everybody else? Just, you know, let me know so that way I can continue. All right. Okay. Thank you. So Atma is existence consciousness, which shines as the material objects of the world, which is Asat, not real. Okay. This yaha my guru bodhayati causes. Bodhayati is a causal statement, meaning bodhati, when you say bodhati, is I know. Bodha means to know. Bodhati is I know. Bodhayati means I cause somebody to know. So I become the medium for that person to know. This way, yaha, my guru, is the cause for me to know. So that's why guru only reveals the knowledge, but the shishya has to experience the knowledge for themselves. Shishya cannot say that, guru, you just give me the knowledge. Therefore, the word is very, you know, carefully used. It's not that the guru is just giving the knowledge. And by giving, the shishya becomes realized. Causes that knowledge to take place for the shishya, but shishya has to be ready. Shishya has to make sure all the prerequisites are met. Samadhi shatka sampattihi, viveka, vairagya, mokshatva, Stavan, Manan, Nididhyasan, all these things are practiced or are continuously being practiced. Yaha bodhayati, this guru causes this knowledge to whom? Ashritan, to those who have surrendered. The moment we say those who have surrendered, there the bhava is that, one, guru, I see you alone as the one who can reveal this knowledge to me. I do not find anybody else in this world who can give me this knowledge. This should be the trust of the shishya in the guru. Then only surrender happens. If that trust is not there, then one goes to the guru for the sake of curiosity. I am curious to learn about what is Vedanta. Then they can go learn. But what happens is, guru will not be able to cause the knowledge for them to happen. Guru will only give information at the But when we surrender in this way, we give it up to Guru. And with that same idea, another thought also is there. And that is, I do not find myself to be capable enough to know this for myself. So I find that I am at a shortcoming. And second is, Guru, you have the ability to reveal. So two things at the same go in this world, ashrita. So that bhava of a shishya who goes to a guru and says that, you alone can teach. Like how in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna goes to Bhagavan and says, Shishyastheham shadhimam tvam prapannam. Tvam prapannam, I have surrendered unto you. Shadhi, teach me, instruct me, guide me. Why? Because I'm your shishya. So I've now changed my status. My status now, hashtag shishya. No longer Arjuna. That is what Arjuna is, I mean, in this, Shishya has to do. So the tuning happens with what the Guru has to say. So then what does Guru do? So Sakshat Bodhi. So there, Guru directly gives that knowledge. Guru is no longer giving side knowledge, this and that knowledge, how to chant the mantras of wedding. That is not necessary when you're studying Vedanta. Or how to please sun god. Not necessary in the study of Vedanta. To see sun god as the Ishvara and to see the sun god as the Atma, that is Vedanta. Pushan nekarshe yama surya prajavatyaha yuharashmin samoha. This is in Ishavasya. Pushan, the sun god. But there that sun god is referred to as Hiranyagarbha. The Ishvara who has taken a form to that Ishvara, I request that may you reveal this knowledge to me. So to worship sun god as Ishvara, possible. But to worship sun god just for the sake of sun god, or to worship so that you can, you know, have a, you know, those graha, your grahas are very powerful then. In order for to do that, then that's not Vedanta. That is samsara. So Sakshat Bodhayati, who gives direct knowledge, where does the Guru get this? Veda Vachasa. The Vedas, they reveal this knowledge. So the Vedas are telling where this is. Now Vedas are talking about a lot of things. So where specifically in the Vedas? So Tattvamasi iti Veda Vachasa. So that portion of the Vedas which speaks about Tattvam Asi, meaning in the Upanishads, and specifically in the Mahavakya Tattvam Asi. This is the Sakshat Bodha. This is the direct revelation by the Guru. Now this word Tattvamasi is also very interesting. Tattvamasi, we say, is Tat, that. Tvam, you. Asi, I. That thou art. That's how English we say, that thou art. If you were to say, who are the subject, what is the subject in this statement? If you put it in an English statement, that thou art, the subject is you, correct? You are, and that. So that becomes what? Object. Okay. Am I correct in my English? Right, that you are. So that becomes the object. You become the subject. R become the verb. Right. In Sanskrit, these two words, that and tau, meaning tat and tum, are both subject. Tat is also a subject, and tum is also subject. So tat त्वम असि. Now when there are two subjects, they cannot be two different things. In Sanskrit, if we say, and I will say it in English, but if we say a sentence like this, dandena, dandena gam ane. Dandena gam ane. So dandena means stick. By the stick, gam means a cow, a cowherd, or not cowherd, but a cow. So show the stick to the cow and bring the cow. That is the statement's mean, right? So when we say dandena and this word gam, they explain two different things, correct? There's a stick and then there's a cow. They're two distinct things. So a sentence, when it is said and two things are mentioned, we automatically decipher the two things as different. But if we say, now in English, I'll say later, but in Sanskrit, if we say neelam utpalam, neelam pushpam anaya, neelam pushpam anaya. So there neelam is what? Not a person, okay? Neelam, don't think about neelam as a person. Neelam is blue, right? Blue. Pushpam is flower. So is blue a distinct thing from flower? No. That flower which is blue, so two things that get combined into one. So blue became the adjective for flower. So therefore what happens in your search when you bring, you're not going to go and see blueness somewhere and flower somewhere, and then you're going to bring two things together. Correct? You're only bringing one, and that is a flower which is pervaded by blueness. That is a blue flower. Right? In this statement of Tattvamasi, Guru is doing the same thing. Guru is trying to explain that the tat and tvam are not two distinct things. They should give us an understanding of me alone. It should give us an understanding of the self alone. How? How can the word tat and tvam reveal the self alone? So, sometimes the words have a direct meaning, and a word also has a suggestive meaning. So a word has a direct meaning and a word also could have a suggestive meaning. And in Tattvamasi, the Guru, when he reveals Tattvamasi, he says to the Shishya, drop the direct meaning and pick up the suggestive meaning. That is what one must do. So what is a direct meaning? That is Ishvara. That Ishvara, the Lord of this entire creation. And Tom means the Jiva. This is the direct meaning. Anytime somebody says Tom, you refers to our first thought about it is I, the individual. So that I is the individuality and Tat is the totality. This is the direct meaning. And we have to then drop the direct meaning and pick up the suggestive meaning of Tat and suggestive meaning of Tom. Who gave us the suggestive meaning of Tat and Tom? Vedas. Upanishad only will tell us why Tat is not simply just the Ishvara, but the Brahman who is presented as the Ishvara. And likewise, Tum, you are not an individual, but you are the Atman who is a reflection as a Jiva. So your reality is Atman, but as a reflection, you think of yourself as Jiva. So by saying Tattvam, this becomes very apparent that I just have to drop it directly. How is it so easy? Well, at first it is not easy, because we have never been trained that way. Say, you know, you're hopefully some, many of you are probably getting together. Christmas is coming, you know, holiday season are coming, right? So family getting together, and say somebody who is coming to your place says, I will fly over tomorrow. But they live in Buffalo Grove, or they live in Wheeling, whatever. So when they say, I will fly over tomorrow, are you expecting to clear your roof area so that a helipad can land? Or are you expecting that you just clear out a driveway so they can park in your driveway? The second, as we know, if they live in the same state, they're not flying over, meaning they're actually going to come in a plane. Second is, when they say, I will fly, it is not that they've grown wings and they will fly. They're not flying with their own wings. They're going to catch a plane if they were to catch a plane. So what happened? That statement automatically allowed us to drop the literal meaning, the direct meaning of the word. And we picked up what? The suggested meaning. How did we pick up the suggested meaning? Because we knew the context in which it was told. Here also, when the Sishya comes for the study of Vedanta, at that time, the context becomes very clear that I'm looking for that knowledge oneness. And in that sense, the suggestive meaning of the Ishvara, the Almighty who has created this entire creation, could not have created it without the Atman alone. So, how it was said in the last shloka, Maya viva vijrumbhayatyapi mahayogi vayat switcha. Like how the Mayavi, the entire creation is created at one go. is like this. Ishvara creates this entire creation. But in reality, who is this? Prang Nirvikalpam. This Ishvara before is in the state of Nirvikalpa. And that Nirvikalpa alone is then manifest as Savikalpa with so many different forms and modifications. So that Tat reminds that I should not be focused on the names and forms of the Ishvara, but the essence of Ishvara, which is Brahma. And likewise, when Tom is said, I dropped all my individuality. I'm not the BMI, not the PFTOET. I am the Om. So the focus on the Om and dropping off those asat kalpa, that which is as though asat, dropping all of that, only thing that remains is I am this. And when these two are put together, then the knowledge dawns that they two are not separate, they're one. Tat is also same, Tom is also same. And therefore, Ekya knowledge has happened. The oneness has happened. So, Tattvamasi. Iti Vedavachasa. Yaha Sakshat Bodhayati. One who clearly reveals this knowledge. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namaidam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. And then last part. Yat here means that knowledge is, the Tattvamasi knowledge is. So yat here means yasya. Of this Tattvamasi knowledge, sakshat karanat. When one has a direct experience of it, Guru directly revealed it for me. But even after Guru has directly revealed it for me, it has to be my direct perception. It cannot be a perception through senses. It cannot be a perception through mind or intellect. Putting mind, intellect, senses aside, I see myself as I am. I experience that awareness, that silence, which is the reality. And in that silence, who do I experience? I experience myself. I'm not experience any objects. So in that silence, there's no search for any objects at all. But there is a vibrant awareness of I am present. And that awareness that I am present is the existence. One who has that experience. Sakshat karanat, then bhavet. Then for such a person, na punaha avrittihi. There is no reason to take birth again. The cycle of birth and death has been cut asunder. Bhavambo nido, this ocean of samsara, the person doesn't have to enter. They are completely freed. This is the result of this Tattvamasi Veda Vakya. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye, Shri Dakshinamurtaye, Idam Namaha. May my prostration be for my Guru, for Dakshinamurti in this way. This is the idea of Shlokananda 3. Now, make sense, the whole thing? Any doubts, questions, comments? Okay, silence is an acceptance of knowledge. So next week, we will not have a class. The week following, we will meet again. And that's when we'll see. We'll do a little bit of revision because it will be 2 weeks. And I'm sure in our holiday parties, we will definitely forget about this. So we'll need a refresher again. And it is a good always refresher. So we'll start again January 6th. Let's do the prayer and we can. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Okay, Hari Om. Have a wonderful holiday season. Enjoy your time.
Thank you, Dhiran.
Not too much, but enjoy your time.
Hari Om. Thank you.
Hari Om, Dhiran ji. Thank you so much. Hari Om.
Hari Om.